Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audibletrial.com/shark. Hey, welcome to Movies, Films, and Flicks. I'm your host, John Lossworth. Joining me, as always, are my co-hosts, Mark Hoffmeyer.
So after watching The Revenant, I have a quick question, right? Let's say you're a fur trapper, which is like the worst job ever, right? Right. You're out in the middle of the wilderness, it's freezing, it's cold, and you see Kurt Russell from Hateful Eight. Would you mistake him for like a very large, like beaver or... large furry beast that you could collect this fur and make money on it?
I wouldn't mistake him as like a bear, but somehow manlier.
maybe a large badger.
would your first instinct be to shoot him?
No.
Or would you be like, hey, or would you just be like, this is too good to pass up and just pass his mustache off for real fur?
So many options. Yeah. How much do you think Kurt Russell's mustache would sell for on the fur market?
You mean like by the pound?
yeah. Let's go by the pound.
I mean, I think, I'm not sure the prices back then, but I think it would be roughly equal to about 3 badgers, 2 beavers, and about 7 squirrels.
Like 50 pounds of ham?
And a pig.
Yeah. That's a cool $5,000 by today's dollars.
That sounds about right, actually. Love it good. How much would you pay for Kurt Russell's mustache?
Not $5,000. I don't know, man. I need to test, like, because you'd take it somewhere. Like, before you buy something, this is an investment, right? Like, you wouldn't buy a Hank Aaron rookie baseball card unless you had someone you knew you could sell it to for probably more than you bought it. So I need to have an appraiser handy to get me a good price and stuff. But, like, how do I know that – I don't know. That little dog man with the eye patch from Labyrinth didn't just get, like, that incredible Hulk serum and gamma rays and turn into a monster, and that monster was Kurt Russell's mustache.
Well, every strand of Kurt Russell's hair, facial or otherwise, comes with a certificate of authenticity. So,
like, comics have CGC. That's what his beard had.
Right. So, each strand comes with its own certificate. So, and let's assume that each strand has a steady appreciation, like maybe like $1 a year.
And you know, it's so dense in like good stuff that it continues growing 2 years even after it's cut off.
Yeah.
They say that like on an atomic level, it's 73% platinum.
Yeah, exactly.
Only the remaining 20-some% is actual like keratin, like hair.
When you put his mustache in water, it like tells you north, south, west, east. Like it's a compass.
It doesn't just go north. It just points wherever you want it to.
I read your mind.
It's like, yo, I lost my keys. So you just place it on a leaf in the water and it points to your keys.
So it's like the compass from Pirates of the Caribbean. It just points to your heart's desire.
Yep. That was made out of, who knows, maybe that was made out of like one of his great ancestors' mustache hairs.
Like the Greek god of mustaches.
All right. I think introductions are over. All right. Let's start this podcast like we usually do. Love it good. I think you have listener questions for us this week.
I do. I got them from Facebook groups that are movie fans this week. And our first question comes from the Silly and Spooky Chat Over 18 Facebook group. And the question comes from Valak Azagoth. That's his actual Facebook name. I don't know if he's a Sith Lord or an Eastern European. But either way, Valak Azagoth asks, when the Flash has safe sex, does it smell like burning rubber? I will apologize for the coarseness of that question, but it was a suitable question, so here we go.
I mean, I guess you asked for really random questions.
I had to be very clear that, like, it couldn't have a right answer, so yeah, this is what I ended up with.
I mean, the first time I read this, my first answer was yuck.
Like, so here's the thing I thought of, like, right away. As perverted as I can be, like, I didn't go that way with this. I thought of also, like, Superman and Quicksilver from, like, the recent X-Men movies. Like, Superman, the Flash, and Quicksilver, they have to decide to move that fast. So, like, when he's eating eggs, he doesn't eat his eggs in, like, a millisecond or a picosecond. He eats his eggs like anyone else eats eggs. Like,
yeah, when he watches, you know, when he watches a movie, he doesn't do it on times eight. You know what I mean?
Right. So it's like, or times eight times the speed of light. But like, so the thing is, it's like, there's no reason. I'm not trying to, like, diss this question. It's a good, funny, clever question. But, like, they choose when to do that or not, even if it's a reflex. Like, when they sense danger and then they dart really fast, it's still, like, that subconscious decision to use your power. So, I mean, I would say that unless he really doesn't want to impress this girl, he would do it at regular speed. And the other thing is that if he went that fast, just from the friction, he would probably incinerate her, like, the heat that it would develop. Like, she would go up in flames.
Yeah, and he's a good guy.
And even if there was no heat, that would probably kill her from the force. Like, there's no way that this works out well if he's using his power. That's my take.
I'm with you.
Stay with me.
All right. My turn.
Yeah.
This is a trick question. The Flash does not have safe sex. He always barebacks it. I think the Flash is so fast, he can avoid STDs and BDs of any kind.
Okay. Yeah. Now I'm eternally grateful to Sith Lord Valak Azagoth. Yeah. Again, that's from Cillian Spooky. Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh my god. Best answer ever.
Tried to get tricky on us, but I saw right through it.
All right. My second question comes from a different group. It's from the Cinematic Universe group on Facebook. The questioner is Ricky Cutzio, and he asks, are vampires iron deficient or anemic?
You know, I was reading a lot online about people who are iron deficient, anemic, you know, how they can kind of look like a vampire. But, I mean, I just think they're vampires. Like, I think that vampirism, right?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of tricky because, like, you know, taking it back to, like, the to previous discussions on zombies and their biologies, you know, not much has been discussed on vampires and, you know, their respective biologies. Like, do vampires poop and pee? You know, it's like, if they're, like, why do they drink blood? Just because it tastes? Or is it, like, a biological function? You know, if vampires pee, then, like, or have, like, some type of digestive, like, function, then we can kind of assume, like, oh, well, you know, they feed on blood to help with, like, to draw nutrients, but, like, I don't know.
But they're dead.
Yeah. Well.
Well, no, but they're not dead. They're undead. So they yeah, emulate the living in many ways, right? Their muscles function, their brain functions, their nerves function, yet they're not alive. So they're like,
do you know how, like, xenomorphs, they take on the traits of, like, if I took over, like, a three-toed sloth, I'd be like a really slow xenomorph, right?
Right. So maybe, you mentioned that specifically way back in episode 3.
That's right.
In the alien special.
So, like, what if there's, like, there's one vampire left in the world, right? And he's just this curmudgeonly guy that lives in a cave. You know, he's just, like, a grump. And he just wants to live the rest of his life like Peter and What We Do in the Shadows, chilling. And an anemic and iron deficient guy walks into his cave, right? And then the old vampire just bites that iron deficient anemic guy and then he just becomes an iron deficient anemic vampire, and then he spreads it to everybody around the world, and that's why we have modern vampires.
Okay, so being a biologist, I went about answering this question very differently, and there's like an inherent flaw in this question, and people are all assuming that vampires are anemic because they're pale. And it turns out that anemia is a disorder in which like your red blood cells, you don't produce enough red blood cells, and your red blood cells get iron from the nutrients you consume. So if you're drinking blood, you're drinking iron. So you're no longer iron deficient. And as far as anemia goes, there's like 80 kinds of anemia, only one of which has to do with iron. But either way, a vampire drinking blood would avoid anemia and iron deficiency, theoretically. So, which is kind of out there. And Mark, you mentioned the disease, though, like how there are people who are vampire-like. That disease is called porphyria. Has a name. I stumbled across that in my little... But they got to have some energy to burn. So I guess like I'm going with Lazavath. And I'm sure there's books out there or some 89 blogs. But like they got to have some kind of nutrient source. This is it. Like if they were alkaline batteries, this is their battery acid.
I don't know. I think it's just a question that will never be fully answered.
If, you know how like
– oh, no. I just say they're not anemic or iron deficient.
Let's say you've lived in Florida your whole life. You're 7 years old. You run on the beach every day without a shirt. You know, you basically look like leather. If a if a vampire bites you, do you automatically become pale?
If the vampire bites you?
Yeah. Like, if the guy looks like leather, does he immediately become pale?
Yeah, he becomes pale. He becomes younger looking. He starts wearing leather. He wears shades.
Yeah, he goes to blood raves.
Yeah.
So, like, no matter how, like, tan you are, as soon as you get bit, you're pale.
You're just paler.
You just look like Twilight.
So, like, the goal of every Florida retiree is to just get bit by a vampire?
Is that why they're always running around at night?
Oh, I hope someone bites me.
You know, I really doubt that it's our demographic, but I wonder if there's, like, some 60 or 70 year old retired Jewish people on South Beach right now are listening, and like, you know, they're just shaking their fist at the computer because we're talking about their leathery skin.
I'd be surprised if they even knew how to operate a computer.
I think they're doing great. You know, I think they're happy.
Yeah.
I think they're enjoying this podcast. You work hard for that leather skin. Like, that's not something you want to lose.
Yeah. It means you've enjoyed life.
That's right.
You didn't just stay inside drinking blood all day.
So the answer is leather.
Yes.
The answer is leather.
Well, that works for vampires because in all the movies, it makes you believe that's all they wear.
Yeah. All right. Thank you once again to our Facebook listeners for those wonderful questions. Well, not, they were sufficiently random, like they usually are.
Yeah. And they were so random, I didn't have an answer for either of them.
I got to tell you, Twitter, like we've got a lot of strong supporters on Twitter about promoting our material. But for some reason, when I ask for listener questions, and unless I like tag a specific person and be like, yo, you at Twitter user who likes us, give me a question. They won't give me a question. I put this stuff on Facebook. I get questions.
Nice.
Yeah. Well,
we got A's.
Yeah. All right. Time to move on to the topic of the day. Mark, I think you have a topic this week.
Yeah. And so for me, after watching the latest Star Wars movies, I kind of started thinking about henchmen and the role that henchmen play in the universe, you know, the cinematic universe. And I mean, you look back from the beginning of cinema to now, and I mean, henchmen have always been a very, I mean, just look at, you know, Igor. And I mean, there's always been henchmen since the beginning of cinema, but they always die in the same way in almost every movie throughout the decades. And so I wrote a post that just was basically giving advice to henchmen. Like, I wanted henchmen to survive. You know what I mean? Like, so many henchmen die that for once I want to see a henchman survive. You know, you watch these movies and they basically do everything they can to get killed. So the following post is some things, advice I would give, you know, or not the post I wrote in the podcast is advice I would give to cinematic henchmen. So the first one is, all right, so how many henchmen have you seen that they just like, all right, the first one is don't be afraid to run away. And there's a movie I love called Kung Pao Enter the Fist. And there's a scene where these henchmen are looking for the good guy. And these bad henchmen are looking around. And one of the henchmen goes, you go that way. I'll go home. So the two guys that go that way, they get, you know, killed. And the guy that goes home and enjoys a nice beverage, you know, hangs out with his family. Like he lives to fight or not fight another day because he made the very smart decision to go home.
Yeah. This strikes me as like low-level Dungeons and Dragons. Like the running away, to any geeks listening, like that's how you survive the low levels when you're hardly better than a peasant. And like so, but these guys that are like no better than peasants, they're like facing the stars of the show. And just to be clear, they might not know that us viewers are there to see the heroes and that these henchmen aren't the heroes. But what they do know is that them and all their henchmen buddy are dressed exactly the same in like very mundane gear. And then like all these other people, like each have their own trademark unique weapon, like a bowcaster and a lightsaber and all this other stuff they've never seen before. And they're like, we got this, Frank. Well, yeah, I got you, Steve. Let's do this.
Yes, Steve and Frank are dead. And you know, the good guys like Doctor Who and a lot of the good guys, they run away. You know, how many good guys have lived because they've ran away? Like, run away.
Yeah.
All of them. All
exactly.
Of them. Holy like, grail.
Yeah. I mean, they know to run away, but the henchmen never run away. And actually, during Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers, the Battle of Helm's Deep, this company created this thing called Massive, an AI simulation called Massive. And all the little Uruk-hai had their own personalities. And I would say 99.99% of the Uruk-hai ran towards Helm's Deep, but there were a few that ran the other way, and they were AI. So there was like three of them that were like, "You guys go attack Helm's Deep. I'm going home." And they lived. Like I don't know what happened to them, but they ran the other way. Like they, and those guys probably lived. They didn't meet a terrible death. Yeah. So I mean, it just proves that if you're a henchman, right? Just if Hulk is coming to town, run away. Just, yeah. You know, go get a coffee, you know, like switch into civilian outfits and enjoy a bagel, wait for the carnage and rejoin later, pretend you are knocked out and you're great. You know, like break your arm, get, you know, your 401k cashed in and retire.
If Hulk is coming, it makes me think of those movies too, because it's like even when they see that like they're unloading 1,000 rounds on Hulk in 3 minutes flat and there's not a drop of blood, and then he throws a tank across like a horizon, they just like keep like most of the guys just keep their holding their ground with their little AK-47s, like if I keep shooting it'll start making a difference.
And this is like Wrath of the Titans again, we've talked about this, where this lady's like hold the line, but there's literally gods running at him. What line is there to hold? Let your men run away. Like go on top of a mountain, drop a boulder on their head. I don't know. Like don't. And they didn't even have guns. So run away, guys. Run away, henchmen. If you're filling out your henchman application, run away.
The best example I want to give for that is in John Wick, when Keanu Reeves is walking up to the club.
Perfect.
He sees Kevin Nash at the door. Kevin Nash is playing a doorman. Kevin Nash looks at him like, are you back? John Wick's like, yeah. Kevin Nash is like, okay. Kevin Nash just walks off.
Steps out of the
door.
Yeah.
He gets out of there. He went home. He popped open a beer.
Yeah.
You know, he watched some CSI, and he had a great night.
No one certainly thinks less of Kevin Nash for doing that either.
He won't even get in trouble because Keanu kills everybody. So, like, no one's even going to notice. All right, perfect example. So the second one is don't wear a cumbersome helmet. And over Christmas break, my wife and her family, we all watched the Star Wars movies on VHS again, which was awesome. But there's a scene in A New Hope where these blast doors open up and these stormtroopers come in to get C-3PO and R2-D2. And the stormtrooper on the right walks into the blast door. Just walks into it. And so a lot of people are saying that there's like visuals inside their helmets showing them where to go. But there obviously isn't if the stormtrooper is walking into this. So, you know, Kevin Nash didn't have a helmet on, you know, like all right, if you're applying for a job and it says helmets are required, make sure that there's a clear visor. You know what I mean? Like make sure that you can see through this. Make sure that you aren't you know, you don't have two tiny eye holes because your shot's going to be terrible. So, I mean, they look cool, whatever, but you're not going to see straight. Like, there's no point to it. And when watching Spaceballs, those guys are combing the desert, right? These guys have these helmets that block their peripheral vision. They're combing the desert. Of course they're not going to find shit. You know why they can't find shit? Because they can't see shit.
We ain't found shit.
Yeah, I love that guy. And that's because of the helmets. So if you're going to be a henchman, don't wear a helmet.
Could I just touch on, you know, in Monty Python and the Holy Grail, if the Black Knight didn't have that ridiculously huge helmet with that narrow slit through which to see his opponent, do you think that he might have beaten King Arthur? Like,
absolutely. I mean,
he was swinging so wildly too. Arthur was just sidestepping.
Yeah, it was guesswork. Like, he was just like, helmets look cool, but I mean, it's like that commercial. Remember that commercial, I don't know if it was like Nas, but there's this one MMA guy doing all these flips and kicks and backflips, and then this other guy just walks in, and then the bland guy just knocks him unconscious. Like, you don't have to look fashionable, guys. Just don't wear a helmet, all right? You're not going to see anything. You can't hit anything.
True.
Like, just don't wear a helmet.
Yeah. Unless you're on a motorcycle.
Yeah. Unless you're on a motorcycle. Okay. When applicable, though, when applicable, wear a helmet.
Right.
I gotta tell you, like, you're about to get to the next one, and I feel like the next one is the one that not only did no henchman listen to this advice, but all henchmen specifically try to do what you're saying not to do.
Yeah, so the next one is never fight on top of a moving vehicle. And you watch, like, I love Mad Max, Fury Road. I was watching again, and all these people are just falling off vehicles and just dying. They're basically cannon fodder. Well, they were cannon fodder because they're going to Valhalla. But, I mean, in all these movies, you see these guys that jump from one car to the other car, the good guy moves to the side, and they fly off and die. And it's like, listen, if you're a henchman, and all right, so this scene with Indiana Jones, right? He's being followed by like eight cars. So basically, instead of jumping out of your car on Indiana Jones's car, just follow that. Just follow him. Like, just follow him until he runs out of gas and shoot him. You don't have to jump onto his little thing. Like, if you just let him drive and you stay in the back and hang out, he's not – you're going to be there with him when he lands to wherever he's going. So, I mean, you don't have to fight on top of moving vehicles. And there's a scene in The Wolverine. So, like, I think it's a cool-looking scene, right? But I think it's stupid. These two Yakuza, right, they're in Japan. They're on top of a bullet train. Wolverine's on top of this train, and there are these two Yakuza, and they each have knives on their hands, and they're climbing their way up a fast-moving train with these knives. But the problem is there's, like, these low bars. So Wolverine is, like, they're jumping up, they're jumping down, they're moving to the side, and then Wolverine tricks them, and then they both die. But it's like, you should not chase Wolverine. You're a human, and you're fighting Wolverine, which is stupid. And you don't have a rocket launcher. Next, you're on top of a – like, that's not honor. That's, like, stupidity. So, like, don't let your ego get in the way because you're not going to kill Wolverine on top of a moving train. So just hang out, guys.
You know, if Wolverine got on top of the train, I kind of figure – well, let's just pretend that I thought there was a chance in hell I could kill Wolverine. If I think he's killable, then I'd imagine that he'd get up on that train and he'd screw up and stumble and fall off the train and die. Like, let the train handle it if that's the deal.
Like, yeah, let him deal with the train, tire himself out. Then when the train stops, get out and try to shoot him or follow him. You know, like, let him sneak away thinking he got away with it and then just follow him.
Genius.
Do some French Connection work. Gene Hackman just followed people. Don't fight on top of moving vehicles, henchman.
Can you imagine, right? Gene Hackman just, like, following someone on top of, like, a moving vehicle?
And then the French Connection, they still wouldn't see him. He's that good. I love the French Connection. It's just a lot of walking. I think it's brilliant. But, I mean, just like, and you know, these Germans, they were really tough in Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark. But they didn't, like, and then there's one guy fighting Indiana Jones on a conveyor belt. There's, like, other guys fighting people near airplanes. Like, just
don't fight them at all.
Yeah, all right, so there's eight guys in the back of the truck that Indiana Jones takes over. Have the eight guys hang out until he parks,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're with the Ark. He's not going to get it. Like, you don't have to get out of a vehicle, henchman.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's my next piece of advice. The next one is, if you're a human in a world full of superheroes, like, don't even apply for the job. There's a scene in The Incredibles, right, where Mr. Incredible is sneaking up on this secret lair, and there's a henchman about 200 yards away, and Mr. Incredible throws a rock from about 200 yards out, perfectly dings him in the head and knocks him unconscious. Like, you're not – just don't even apply. Like, if you live in a world where there's the Hulk or Thor or Iron Man and, you know, you're applying for, like, a secret lair job, just – you know what? Don't do it. Just find another line of work. Become a bouncer. Like, don't become a henchman. Like – like, you're not going to do it. Like, you remember on the Avengers Age of Ultron when all those Avengers attacked that base? They're not stopping anything whatsoever.
Right.
I mean, there's no point. Like, just retire. Hang up the boots. Get a gold watch. Become a bouncer. And then if John Wick shows up, leave.
Yeah. I don't know. The only problem I can see with that is that in a world full of superheroes, I feel like employers would be forced to hire, like, non-superheroes. Kind of like the Equal Opportunity, like, Employers Act. Like, you have to hire, like, people who don't have superheroes. You don't want to discriminate. So they have to have, like, a certain quota that they have to fill. Yeah. Don't be part of that small quota.
Yeah, you're right. There's a quota. You're right.
Bad guys should just hire, like, IT guys and hackers. Because if they could, like, well, Tony Stark is, he'd outsmart him. But just as a random example, if Tony Stark wasn't such a genius with all things like computer and stuff, right? It's like, what happens if you, like, identity thieve them and you like, freeze their bank accounts or something? And then what are they going to do? How are they going to fuel their special little Avengers jet if they can't afford that jet fuel? Like, just load them up with some computer viruses or, like, you know, frame them for some tech crimes. Like, just hire a bunch of geeks.
Yeah, you're right. Go cyber against them. Don't go physical.
And you know what else? The geeks just get bitch slapped by the good guys. The geeks usually don't get shot in the face or Hulk smashed in, you know, a county away. Like, the geeks kind of, or if anything, the good guys even look at the geeks and let the geeks run away sometimes.
Yep. The only time I can remember a geek dying was in GoldenEye, and that guy had the pen where he kept clicking it.
Yeah. Boris.
But that was his fault. I'm invincible, then he wasn't. So, I mean, yeah, they'll catch a little slap, you know, because, you know, of course there's going to be a scene where, like, you're better than them, Tony. Don't kill him. Right? So, I mean, there's always – yeah, I like –
they just got to recruit at MIT. Like
– MIT villains? I like it.
Yeah.
So the next one is, if a British spy tells you to lie down, just lie down. There's a scene in Austin Powers Goldmember where Michael Caine is like, you don't even have a name tag. Like, what are you going to do to me? Like, I just killed your friends. Just lay down.
Do you have any idea how many anonymous henchmen I've killed?
Exactly. Like, and you know what the guy does? He lies down. He lays down. He goes, all right, I'm with you. And guess what? He lived.
He laid
down and he lived.
Is it lays or lies? I've always been kind of confused.
He falls on the ground.
Okay. Perfect.
That's question answered.
I'll take it.
Yeah. If some guy is like, hey, listen, I've killed a billion of you, and I'm sure you're a great guy. You know, I'm sure you have hench. You took the 2-week course, got the certificate. But just, I'm giving you a chance to live. I would drop my gun, fall on the ground, and pretend to be unconscious. Or I would maybe say, hey, for the cameras, can it look like I'm attacking you and you just judo chop me? Like, I would try to work something out with him. Like, hey, I'm going to pull left. You hit me to the right. Just knock me unconscious so I don't get fired.
Yeah, you'll survive the judo chop.
Yeah. So, because, yeah, like, put me in a sleeper hold. You know, I'll be like, I won't shoot you. I promise. I'll put the gun on safety. I'm sure they'd be down.
I'm sure, like, someone like Captain America would do that, you know. But with someone like Punisher, I just don't think there'd be, like, no negotiations at all.
Yeah, your head would be off.
Yeah.
See, but then I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't be doing this in a world where there's, like, superheroes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and the people in the Punisher movies always get brutally murdered too. So I would not. Yeah, if I knew the Punisher was in my town, I would quit.
Here's an interesting theory. What if, like, these henchmen didn't originally apply to be henchmen? Maybe they applied to be, like, the servers or, like, bartenders, and they got hired on, and they immediately got their position switched to henchmen. Because that's something, like, a super villain would do, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So maybe they're just, like, unsuspecting dudes.
Like, remember in Spaceballs when they're like, close the zoo? So maybe, like, they hire people to work in the zoo, then they turn them into henchmen.
I'm like, oh, no.
Well, I'm here. I'm on a remote secret lair, and if I say no, I'm dead.
I gotta tell you, if I was an evil guy's henchman and, like, the Avengers were coming in to, like, deal with whatever my evil boss was planning – I would just be like hopping on to my online government system, you know, like evil villainy system for like my time and hours in, and I'd be applying for my annual leave right then.
Yeah. Oh, wait, so when is this nuclear bomb going to be capable to blow up? So, because it always, you know, they always stop it at 1 second.
So I'd be like, I hear Fiji is nice that time of
so
year.
So the nuclear bomb is going to blow up in a week. Okay. they'll stop it at 1 second left. I'm going on vacation tomorrow.
You guys are forgetting who they're working for. You think these villains would say yes to vacation time?
Well, I mean, how do they get them? Like, there's got to be a union.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to be paid, and there's no point in having a family and taking care of them if you can't see them and spend time with them. So, they have to give them something.
Because, I mean, a lot of these guys are, you know, they seem – well, no, a lot of them don't seem skilled.
What if, like, he did grant him vacation time, but it was vacation to, like, another island that he owned?
Yeah, you know, like how, like in Iron Man 3, like Tony Stark is like, the Avengers are busy. I can't bother them. Like, they were doing some other heroic things. It's like they send you to the island where, like, if you're fighting the Iron Man, you get sent to where all the other Avengers are. Oh, man. And they're fighting some baddies over there.
And they give you, like, a potato gun to fight the Hulk.
Every bit is effective. At least he might stop for a second to eat one.
I quit. He's eating potatoes. All right, so the next one is be attentive. So in the 2015 spy film Spy, which is brilliant, Rose Byrne, one of her henchmen isn't paying attention, and this guy puts this crazy acid in her martini. And so this henchman allows her boss to almost die, but Melissa McCarthy Melissa McCarthy stops it, and then the poisoner dies. But the henchman who isn't paying attention to Rose Byrne's drink dies. Then in The Dark Knight Rises, there's a guy, a henchman, who's like incredibly trained, but he lets Gary Oldman get away through the sewers. Then he gets murdered from Bane. And all these guys, and if you think about it too, Boba Fett, he's not paying attention and he gets killed by Han Solo. So all
I was totally going to call up Boba Fett.
Oh, my bad. So like
you're good.
All three of these henchmen are very well trained, but they take their eyes off the prize, like when it's the most important. Like, why would you not, like, your job is to watch her drink. Why would you not, or make sure her drink isn't poisoned? Why would you be away from that? Like, these three guys just like had a mental lapse. They were thinking about dinner or, you know, the finale of, or, you know, or that Gossip Girls. Well, not Gossip Girl. Gilmore Girls is coming back on Netflix. They're excited. They're taking their eyes off the prize, and then they die. So if you're a henchman, just take your job seriously. You know what I mean? Like, just watch that martini, all right? If you have a police chief next to water, don't let him roll into it. If you're a henchman, know your surroundings. It takes, like, 5 seconds. It's either that or dead. So pay attention, people.
Yeah, I mean, if Boba Fett was a little more aware that there was, like, a giant Sarlacc pit near him, maybe he wouldn't have been so careless.
Right?
I mean, he wasn't paying attention to anything.
Nothing.
I mean, he may as well have just been some random, like, random dude on the street who they just put in a Boba Fett helmet in that scene.
Yeah, I just think, you know, you just got to pay attention, guys. Pay attention to your surroundings, and you probably will still die. But just at least know where you're at. Like, if you're in an open field and Arnold Schwarzenegger's running at you, get behind a rock. Like, you know what I mean? Don't run right at him in an open field. Get behind a hedge.
I hope, like, it's a big hedge.
Just pay attention to your surroundings, all right? Just know where everything is at all times. Watch those martinis. All right. And the next one is never volunteer and always stay under the radar. So in the film 300 Rise of an Empire, Eva Green is like, I need a volunteer to crush the Spartans. And some guy, General Kashani, is like, I'll do it. I'll crush them and I'll kill them. Guess what happens to General Kashani? He gets his limbs cut off and brutally murdered. I mean, he's brave, but he's dumb. His will, he wanted to volunteer. He got led into a trap. All of his people died, and he got his limbs cut off. Like, that, just don't volunteer. And let's say you do volunteer, you fail, and then you got to go back to whoever it is. You're dead. And guess how you could have lived? By staying under the radar.
All right, so here's a question, right? You're in the movie Troy. you're Nathan Jones. You're that giant dude who gets killed by Achilles in that opening fight, the really quick opening fight, right? But you're like 400 pounds. But you've heard of Achilles. Yeah. Everyone has heard of Achilles. Like, if you really think that this is going to be easy, you're stupid. And if we recall, Boagrius had a scar across his face. So it's not like he was totally unscathed in his history. Someone other than Achilles had put a blade to his face. So, like, when they were calling Boagrius, you know, when they're calling their champion, couldn't he have just pulled an Achilles and, like,
I'd have popped my hammy. I'd have ran away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I pulled a hammy. It's the ACL. It's one of those. It's bad. Yeah. It's bad.
Send Richard.
Richard's Steve. Get Steve.
Rick. Bill. Hank, Debbie, send Debbie. Nice. Who are these people?
Could Boagrius be up there and be like, wait a minute, Achilles? Like the guy from the story? Oh, I'm not going to fight him. Like, could he have just said no? I don't know how this works. Could he say no?
Like, let's say, like, you have to, like, battle a god. And, like, everybody on your arm, like, all right, so you're blue team, you're fighting the red team, and red team has a god, right? And they're all like, all right, time for you to fight there. You know, hey, Steve Balsawood, it's time for your turn to fight. I'd be like, guys, he's a god. I'm going to lose. Let's just give it to him. Like, I'm your best warrior. I'm going to die very quickly. All right? I am dead. This is not even like a smart gesture. You're losing your best warrior. All right? Let's give them whatever they want. We'll team up with them. And you know, you got your best warrior still. You know what I mean?
And this whole thing was over a Yahtzee dispute.
Yeah. Like, guys, you did not get Yahtzee.
Yeah. But see, that's Nathan Jones's fault, though, is he put himself in a position where he was not under the radar. You know,
he can be the best warrior, but just don't gloat about all your kills.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, you got Boagrius. What if there's a guy, like, next to Boagrius that killed, like, three times the amount of people he did, but he just stayed quiet about it? Like, he's still living. So that an example of that is in Mom and Dad Save the World. There's a scene where the right-hand men of John Lovitz, he's this king, and he looks at him and he goes, mutton chops or goatee? And the first guy goes, goatee? He's like, no, kill yourself. So the guy kills himself. And
then shoot yourself in the head.
Yeah, and then he looks at the guy, mutton chops or goatee? And the guy goes, goatee? And he said this, and then he's like, no, kill yourself. So he kills himself and goes, ooh, the goatee would be nice. These guys would have lived. Don't be around Vader. Don't be around Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren. Don't even be a computer on a ship with
like,
Kylo Ren.
Yeah, don't watch the Jedis. Just don't volunteer. Be you know, look at Finn. Finn ran away. Oh, this is perfect. Finn stayed under the radar, right? He did
he took off the helmet.
Yeah, he took off his helmet.
Yeah.
And then he escaped. He ran away.
And now look at him. Now he went from henchman to hero.
And then look what happened, though. He didn't run away. He went back to that place, and he got his back sliced. If he'd have taken off to the other rims, he'd have been fine. So this is proving everything.
Nice.
All right. So the next one is never work at a secret lair or space station and pick your jobs wisely. I mean, you know, I'm watching this Spectre recently, and Christoph Waltz, he's monologuing while wearing loafers with no socks, but that's beside the point. But he has a secret lair. His secret lair blows up. All right.
Very easily, I might add.
Yeah, exactly. Death stars blow up. Death planets blow up. Every layer that you can think of explodes. So, John Levengood, you're a henchman, right? And they're like, do you want to work at the Death Star or do you want to work at the station on Hank 2360? And I'd be like, on Hank 2360, is it cold? Is it freezing? Are there monsters? No, it's pretty nice. It's just boring. You know, do you want to be at the action? Do you want to be promoted quickly? Or do you want to go to Hank 2360? Send me to Hank 2360. I'll be chilling. It's relaxed. It's boring. Work on your suntan. Unless you
become the problem is that you said you get promoted if you go to Death Star.
Yeah, you don't want to get promoted at the Death Star. You want to stay under the radar if you're a henchman. So you go to the farthest away planet.
Yeah. They just don't know that. They don't know that. They want to move up. They don't realize that to move up, they need to be the one guy per thousand guys in part one that survives to see part two.
One out of 1,000?
Yeah. And like, okay, this is a great example. In The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, there are these goblins, or I think they're orcs, and their job is to free the Uruk-hai from goo, right? So this is where pick your jobs comes wisely. So this goblin or orc is working with, his job is to be in this gross stuff, freeing these killers. So this orc frees this Uruk-hai, and he gets murdered for his troubles. Like, how do you pick that job? Like, hey, I need you to free these killers or you'll probably die. Like, just pick your jobs wisely, guys. Don't end up freeing Uruk-hai from goo.
It reminds me of the conversation that Dante and Randall had in Clerks when they were discussing the contractors working on a Death Star.
Yeah.
That was a classic scene.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you already had one Death Star blown up because of a weird vent system that you could shoot lasers through and have the whole place explode. Uh-huh. Like, you're under fire. Like, this is tough work that you're doing. Like, don't even do it. Like, if I knew Thanos was building, like, a super planet, I wouldn't work on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't run events on Thanos' super planet.
Unless, like, the hazard pay was, like, ridiculously good.
Exactly. I can't turn it down. And, like, I'll be like, where's the Rebel forces now? Okay. I wouldn't. You know what? I still wouldn't do it. I still wouldn't do it for the hazard pay. I know my luck. So just, you know, don't work in goo and pick your jobs wisely. Don't work at big bases. And the next one is realize that your gun doesn't shoot straight and adjust accordingly. Like, guys, in every movie, the guns, like in Commando, Eraser, these like lava guns or laser guns don't shoot straight. I mean, they're shooting through houses and they can't hit Arnold. So maybe these guns were bought like on like the black market at cost. So you're getting these cheap guns for your henchmen and they're not shooting straight. So instead of shooting right at Arnold, put it a little bit to the left, tilt it down, put it up. You know, maybe if you shoot somewhere else other than the hero, you might hit him.
I think that they just need to, that's a lot of thought for a henchman. Like, they didn't get hired into the henchman position because they had a lot of credentials. I say you have them shoot like Dutch and his crew did in Predator. Yes. When they mowed down a couple of acres of rainforest. Like, they were just like swinging their, just all over the place, just like pepper in the land.
Yep.
Just shoot like that.
Just pepper the land. Yeah. Pepper the land.
Those trees had it coming.
Yeah, exactly. And the only reason they didn't kill anything was because of that stupid, Predator. Because it goes invisible. So the last one is realize that your bosses don't have your best interests in mind. I mean, so I was watching American Ultra and Walton Goggins is in it, and he plays this guy called Laffer. And basically they just tried to make these super soldiers, but they turned them all insane. Now they lock them up in pits and then they have them go out and kill people. So like, if you're a henchman, they don't care about you. You know what I'm saying? But if you're a henchman, all right, so let's say you become an accountant and your bosses don't care about you. You're not going to die. But if you become a henchman, your bosses don't care about you, you're going to die and be tortured and maybe be driven insane. So just go into it knowing that your bosses don't care about you.
So when you posed this of realize they don't have your best interest in mind, I was actually thinking of benefits packages and, like, you know, for your job, your benefits package for your henchman plan instead of a pension plan, henchman plan.
Yeah.
But like, so I actually got, and I was saving this. I have a bonus listener question and it's right to this theme. It was, what sort of benefits packages do henchmen actually get? I mean, chances are that they'll eventually get their ass handed to them at some point. So what kind of medical benefits are we talking about? Or dental? Am I to believe that Jaws from James Bond covered those teeth by himself?
No.
I would just have a huge life insurance policy.
I mean, would you do that for your employees?
No.
Not life
insurance. I would be like the, like, so the next point I have here is the Joker in The Dark Knight. He just hires a bunch of crazy people. And then he throws them into Batman and has them like kill themselves. He puts bombs in them. So if I was like an evil henchman, I would just bring a bunch of crazy people. I would go to a prison, let them loose.
It's probably cheaper that way.
Yeah, I wouldn't, you know, if I was trying to do legit henchmen, I would do a 401k. I would do dental. I would pay, you know, if Jaws was my main right-hand man, I would pay for those teeth.
You know, right. Maybe I'd give them all a small life insurance plan. Like, it seems like a perk. Like, you all get a $5,000 life insurance plan, and we cover the premium. But really, that just covers, like, their burial cost.
Like, yeah. Yeah. I would give them, like, really great food.
That's really nice. You know, that's a draw, actually.
I would like, do short-term benefits because they're not going to live long. So, steak dinner Wednesday, lobster Thursday.
Yeah. I'll bet that, like, if the U.S. military, if, like, the Army had a good reputation for mess hall, like, it really would probably make a difference in recruitment.
Yeah, sushi.
No one wants to get sent to Qatar to eat slop.
Sushi Sunday. You know what I mean? Like, I would have those little ice cream machines, and I would have Froyo where you could put, like, all the gummy bears and Reese's stuff on it. Oh, I would amazing. Have, like, I mean, I would have great breakfast, lunch, dinner. I would play movies. There would be a rec hall. You know, if one of my guys, you know, they knew there's a soccer game in a couple weeks, I would let them take a break to go watch it. I would offer short-term benefits because they're all going to die anyway.
Oh, nice. Well, Where do I sign up?
I got to thank my friend Kat from Northeast Florida who supplied that benefits package question. You know, you say rec hall, I think of Jarhead. Like, rec hall is basically running around while you're drunk with a machine gun wearing a Santa Claus hat as a cod piece.
Yep. You know what my training would be? I would build an entire Sears. Remember the old, like, that's old, a Macy's, two-story Macy's, right? I would give all my guys paintball guns, right? And I would let them play paintball and capture the flag in, like, stores and conventions, places you could mess up. I would build houses that people could just wreck. Like, I would just let them enjoy their lives while they're still not smushed by the Hulk. I would have miniature golf.
You know, I got to take a moment to acknowledge one of my favorite henchmen. And remember how in a recent podcast I commented about how the movie Van Helsing from 2004 seemed like really fun back then, but it really doesn't hold up at all. But, like, one thing I did like was there was this one scene where, like, you kind of see, like, there's a curtain drawn, but you see the silhouette and you see, like, Igor, and he's, like, jabbing something at, like, the tied up Wolfman, and you hear this electrical crackling sound, like he's just jabbing it with an electrical prod. And, like, so then he comes out and he's holding his prod and he's hunching over in front of Dracula and he says, "Why do you torture that creature so much?" And Igor just looks at him and he says, "It's what I do." Like, it's like he was hired to do that. It was like the one moment where Van Helsing was, like, self-aware of its ridiculousness. And the line went to Igor, the most minor character in the movie.
"What I do, boss."
"It's what I do." He's just jabbing at, just teasing it, like a jerk.
Yeah, and, like, don't be the torturer either. Like, that's just not gonna... Yeah, so right. that's my advice to you guys. Just kind of, you know, chill out.
Like, this is the end of the episode G.I. Joe cartoon moral. It's, guys, don't be a torturer. Kids, don't torture.
If you think about all the people that torture, too, they're all dead.
Probably.
Like, but you know what, though? They put themselves on the radar to do the torture. So if you stayed under the radar, you wouldn't even have to worry about that. So basically be like Finn and pretend like he actually went to the Outer Rim and just took off. That's the best way to be a henchman.
Nice. All right. I think, that was a great – that was some great advice, actually. I'm actually considering applying to be a henchman somewhere.
Hey, I free lobster. Free lobster.
Yeah, sounds pretty good. All right. Before I say goodbye to everybody and also my friends and family before I join his henchman outfit, do we have any plugs you want to make?
Yeah, Movies, Films, and Flicks, stop by iTunes, rate, share, repeat, head over to Movies, Films, and Flicks, read the articles. Just basically, if you like our pod, just make sure to stop by iTunes, give us a rate, review us, subscribe, and just share to your friends. Let's get this thing growing.
Yeah, and, big thanks to Cinematic Universe Group and Silly and Spooky Chat 18 and Over Facebook groups. They're fun places I like to discuss things, and that's where we got our questions from that Sith Lord Valak and Ricky Tsutsio, and also to my friend Kat from North Florida. And find us on Twitter. We are at Movies Films Flicks, FLIX, And also at MFF Horror Corner. That's MFF, like Movies, Films, and Flicks Horror Corner.
Cool. All right, guys. That does it for another exciting episode of Movies, Films, and Flicks. I've been your host, John Lasva. For my co-hosts, Mark Hoffmeyer.
Kurt Russell.
John Lemmingood.
Valak is a Sith name.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
T-minus 5 seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark! Go! Go! Go!
This podcast is a Shark Dropper Studios production.